money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
You got a big smile on your face.
I do.
Yes, and you can tell on the, you know, if you're listening to the podcast, even that I'm ready is like, that's got the smile on.
You're so always happy that I'm ready to talk money.
Well, you know what? It's a boring conversation if it's just Dave talking about money. So
well, today we have a guest.
We do.
So, like, yeah.
So, you know, I got to get it in here early because I'm probably not going to get a whole lot to say later on. So welcome to the show. This is the show where Dave and Reb talk about the hard issues of money. Welcome, Tim Jenkins, to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Yes. Tim's a regular with us and actually... The pressure's on me today.
Yes, because
Tim, your organization, Trinity Family Wealth, is sponsoring today's show. So, you know, I get to give you the thank you right here
yes.
in person, which I don't always get to do, so I'm on my best behavior. So.
Awesome. Well, you're very welcome. It's our pleasure to support this.
Yes. And I actually took the wording from your website that you're an integrated team of experts helping manage wealth while preparing people for legacy planning and blessing others for generations. You say a lot more on your website, and that'll be all in the show notes. But
right, and if you're listening and you're like, oh yeah, it's Trinity Family Wealth. I love the easy websites. You know, it's like morethanenough.ca is ours. Sure. Like, okay, you think More Than Enough, but trinityfamilywealth.ca, you get there. And check out the blog section. I mean, there's lots of great information, but I love just reading through the blogs, and there's so much good stuff there. And so, anyways, if you get to, and I encourage you to get to trinityfamilywealth.ca, then check out the blogs. You can't miss them. You got to have them. So.
And Tim, you do, I said it to Dave on the way in today, you have a gift of... language to encapsulate things that draws our attention to what's important. So if that's a little plug also for people to, you know, maybe you'll be intrigued to go read what you've written, but I just love that. And they'll hear that this morning when we chat.
Yeah, totally. And what we're trying to do with those blogs is write about topics that are very pertinent, mm-hmm. but that our audience isn't getting anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And so they are unique and high value. So obviously we believe in it. You do as well.
Yeah.
So.
That's great. No, good. Great. Okay. You're going to share the scripture verse today.
Before I do that, I'm going to give just a little extra because Tim, you have a specific niche, but you know, when I was reading through it, you know, your niche is wealth advising, yes. And we know there's financial advisors all over and that's, you know, that's a whole market. But you also specifically deal with legacy planning. You specifically deal with that generational aspect of what's going to happen. And so I think that's, again, it's a little bit unique and that's why I'm doing the plug, because as I read through the blogs and as we've chatted in, our conversations are not the regular financial advisor, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I'm just saying that you do something a little bit different. You go a little bit deeper. You ask some questions of your clients that they may not be getting from other financial advisors.
Totally. And as you say, the technical aspects of financial planning and wealth advising is important. Mm-hmm. But we find in the typical process that the most important thing for families is not addressed, and that's our kids. Mm-hmm. And the impact of our financial decisions on our family and future legacies. So that's absolutely critical in our belief.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because it's not just about how much money can Dave make, how much money can Dave invest and see the return on it, but also looking at it from that generational perspective and say, okay, so and we're going to talk about this, we're kind of setting this up, but there's this, you know, it's not just the silo of Dave and Reb and what we do with the resources we have, but also our responsibility before the Lord to say, okay, we have family. Like, you know, God, you've given us these kids. And so how do we in our money? And the reason I'm spending a little time here is because I come from a generation where the generation before didn't really talk about money openly in the family.
Exactly.
And yes. So even the discussion around wills and legacy, you know, those were very vague. And, yes. And I don't think I'm alone in that. No. And we're not necessarily talking about billions of dollars. We're just talking about the money that, you know, again, the generation before has. And in my experience, the lack of communication, the lack of training, the lack of questions, the lack of openness yes. around that, you know, I've recognized it now at 50, right? So then taking that further to our kids and that part. So
yeah, totally. Really important. Not only is it not talked about, often it's not even thought about in that initial generation. Mm-hmm. So there just needs to be more thought about that. And that's where we'll go with the show.
Yeah,
a bit.
Yeah, so. Good.
And we had the title, you know, how do we keep, what is it? How do we keep money from wrecking our kids, which is the title of your blog.
Yes.
So we grabbed that. And I think that's, you know, again,
we're going to talk about that word wreck in a minute.
But, it's such a great title.
So. But yeah, because that's like a strong word. Anyway, and I guess we want to use strong words and language to grab our attention, to wake us up, actually. Totally. That's why we do it. But that Proverbs verse ties in here. So
Proverbs 13:22, you know, when we were preparing, I mean, this is the verse, I probably quote this once a month, and it just says, Proverbs 13:22, good people or a good man leaves an inheritance to their children's children, but the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. That's the New Living Translation. And, you know, I'm looking at that going, yeah, that is not what I want my legacy to be passed on to the ungodly. I think I want to pass it on to the, you know, my children's children's and maybe even my children's children's after that, yes. right? So.
Yeah, well, and that's a wise proverb, but it actually says, I like the New Living Translation is okay, but I like
the okay. So like now the, here's the real Bible.
No. The wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Like that's a whole other topic. But our focus for the show is that I also find it really interesting that he doesn't say a person leaves an inheritance to his children. Mm. It's to the grandchildren, which is a whole generation further down, which like that's a whole topic in itself. Sure. But we want to talk about leaving that inheritance and that legacy, but how do we do it, as we've already mentioned, in a way that's not going to wreck our kids? Like, what does that mean?
Well, maybe this is the verse. Maybe we just end there. Don't leave anything to the kids and leave it all to the grandkids.
No, that's not that. That's not saying that.
Okay, Tim's going to correct me on that.
Yeah. Yes. So why is this something on your mind?
Yeah, so basically where it came from is we find as parents, this doesn't matter about how much riches we have from a financial perspective. As parents, we all want to help our kids kind of launch from a place that's a little better than where we launched from, mm-hmm. and end up in a little better place than where we are. And our society is so affluent, and we may not think that, but to be in North America, we are blessed, mm-hmm. incredibly. And a lot of our population has a lot of financial margin. So it's really important to watch what we do for our kids, because the more we give them, the better to an extent. But there's a diminishing return on that extra that we pass to our kids, whether it's before we actually pass away or in our inheritance. The other side of it, though, is not only does that return diminish, but it actually goes negative at one point. So there's that, we call it a tipping point. At what point does our blessing turn into a curse?
Right.
And we can all think of families where you go, those kids got too much. And it impacted the kids negatively and it wrecked them. It robbed them of a strong work ethic. It robbed them of dependence on their Heavenly Father. It robbed them from some really tough lessons that they would have been different adults and generated, created a different character had they not been given more money than they should have. So that's really, that's the danger of financial riches. And we have to identify how much is enough for our kids. And also at the same time, each kid could be different. They've got different temperaments. They use money differently. They've got different levels of maturity. So we've got to take all of those things into consideration to do this really well.
So there's a bunch of questions in all that you've said just now, but like, can you give us an example maybe where it hasn't gone well? Like, what do you mean exactly? Is it like they're just so spoiled, they just blow it all and then they have nothing left within a year or two? Or how does that work?
Yeah, certainly. So I think if we look back at our lives and if we're happy with where we are, or we just kind of look and say, you know what, we've all made mistakes, but we've advanced and we've developed. Or you look at people that are at the top of their game in life and in their career setting, or if they're a stay-at-home mom, they've done it really, really well, or stay-at-home dad. When you look at those folks, they've had some struggle. They've had some difficulty. And the difficult times in our lives, if we look back, that's where we've learned the most. Mm-hmm. We've grown the most. The easy times are nice, but we don't grow and mature and develop there. And so it's important to not rob our kids of that. So in terms of, stories where this has happened, it's easy to see in families where there's financial margin and extra, that in our desire to make our kids' lives better, we've gone too far. Mm-hmm. And so you think of just recently dealing with a client situation where a son-in-law was just invited into the business, and the father now looks back at, 10 or 15 years later and saw that the things that he did that he felt were a blessing to that son kept the son from developing in business and as a person and developing good financial habits. And now they're running into all kinds of character issues that were never developed. And now they're getting significant pushback from that child. And it's really impacted their business. And it's the relationships have completely deteriorated. This is really, really difficult. So, we have that tipping point and then it continues. And as I said earlier, we can think around our community and go, I know other families where that's happened. The challenge is we all think our kids are different and we think we're different. So, it's not that important. Hey, it's the same principle. We're all people. We're all susceptible to the same temptation.
And I think one of the what we're really talking, or what you're talking about, Tim, here is the relationship and the impact of, what happens with how we handle money, say, Reb and I as parents handle money, and how that impacts character. So we're doing this, hey, really what we're looking at is the character and how we, as we do our money story, and as we, are working out that story in our own lives. I often say our kids catch more of the money story than they're taught.
Totally.
They see it and totally. They see the reality of how we handle or don't handle stressful situations around money. And then we might try and teach them something, but they're really learning by watching how we handle that. And so in a case, when we're talking about our kids and saying, being intentional about as we learn our story to say, hey, we're on this journey and give us some grace to make mistakes, because we're really talking about character issues or character.
So that struggle, how do we, you know, because one of the things that you've mentioned to me is, you know, how do we give the gift of struggle to our kids so that character that Dave was talking about develops? Like, I always think of that James 1 verse where it says, you know, consider it all joy when you go through various trials, because your patience, your faith is producing patience, and your patience is producing something so that scripture says we're not lacking anything, right? Like, it's this, but I mean, how do we, what does that mean to give our kids the gift of struggle?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's really what this, the whole blog was written around, that theme, that concept. And we think, you know, struggle is a bad thing. And we want to protect our kids as parents. But I think of it and I go, you know what? Sometimes protection looks like letting them skin their knees.
Yeah.
And so let's translate that. That's for the 4-year-old trying to learn how to ride the bike. Or that's the 1-year-old that we got a 1-year-old grandson right now, and he's on the verge of walking, right? And so he's going to get bruised up. I know he's going to have some bad falls off the corner of the table and whatever else he hits, right? But we want that child to learn to walk, because walking brings so many amazing opportunities and things. So we don't want to hold them back. So that's a gift of allowing them to struggle. A little bit later, you'd have that teenager or that grade 7, 8 that's struggling with their study habits. And rather than help them too much with that homework, we let them struggle to say, hey, I can learn how to study. I can get better marks. Or we've got that young adult child, or maybe not so young adult child, and they rack up the credit card debt. And instead of stepping in and saying, hey, we'll help you with that, are they going to learn from that? Probably not. They start paying 19% on their Visa card and see how long it takes, or 29% on their Canadian Tire card.
Right.
And it takes them 3 years to pay off for one purchase that was, you know, they learned that lesson. They'll never forget that. So that's where we want to walk that fine balance. And it's so easy because we want to be that protective parent. And yet, I want to encourage our listeners to think about the long game. The long game is, where are our kids going to be in 10 or 20 years? What are our actions today going to help encourage them to grow and to develop and to wrestle in those difficult times so that they learn that as well? And so one of the stories that comes to mind around this, I remember this was more than a decade ago. I was with somebody, they had a successful business. This often happens with business owners at the start of their business. Life is really, really difficult. And they work really hard and they get hardly any return. And it's not uncommon for them to be in a place where they go into work and they don't have cash flow to meet the bills that are due, or payrolls on Friday. We need a deal. We need a receivable to be able to make that happen. And they're praying like crazy and they're working like crazy, and it happens. But that has helped them to develop their perseverance, their trust in God, their faith, their business acumen, to know how to, you know, advance the business and how to get receivables, all those different things. That's what's allowed them over time to develop and get much more, to do life and business much better. And we just don't want to, that also creates scars, though. You know, going into work in that environment is not easy. And so this person, he was talking about his kids. And at that point, his oldest was just about ready to go to university, wanted to be a lawyer. And he wanted to put her in a place where she was really comfortable financially. And he basically made the comment along the lines of, you know, my daughter will never struggle like I did. And there's that protective aspect of a father. I get that. I have a daughter, right? And two sons, and I want to protect them, but I just kind of thought, oh man, yeah, we do want to protect them, but we have to be so careful what that fine line is so that they learn those lessons and they struggle. So that's the gift of struggle. Just as another example comes to my mind, So for us, there's that thought of, you know, will I step in and help or won't I?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
most of the time, my wife and I have to go, no. It's more valuable to our kids and therefore to us if we don't step in. And so the exercise that I think of recently, one of our kids was over and the muffler was a little bit louder than it should have been, right? And you'll appreciate that. No, not intentional at all. Okay. And then back another week and the muffler was still pretty loud. And then back another week and the muffler was still loud. So maybe they had scheduled a muffler, but I, in my mind, kind of go, they need a muffler. And it would, you know, it's not that much. And it would have been really easy for me to say, hey, do you want me to look after that? And I had to say, no, in my mind, right? We didn't have the conversation.
Yeah. No.
But that's where I went, because I went back to the early years for Kathy and I. And there were times when the muffler went for maybe 2 or 3 weeks because we needed the cash flow for that and we waited for that.
Yeah.
So there's I mean, I love that story, but there is this kind of assumption or this projection of our story onto our kids, you know, and in your example, you know, I can think back to the years that whatever the reason is, maybe in our reason, it was there was no cash to change the muffler. Maybe for the kids' reason, they really don't care, right? Like, they, you know, and so actually some of that conversation goes, you know, do I even need to jump in? Because I'm more worried about it than they are. And I feel that with us as a parent, sometimes we're more worried about some of those things than in fact our kids are. And going back to your 1-year-old, I mean, I love again, that picture of when do you hold their hand and just help them? And when do you step back and just see what happens, yeah. right? You just see what happens. And that we do that with money. Like, that's such a great picture for me. Yeah.
Because, and this is why we're talking about that, because that gift of struggle is knowing, like, when do you, oh, okay, I'm going to step in, or when do I just let it be? And that is one of the hardest things as parents. And we actually, like, I know there's a lot more we could talk about, but I'm feeling like this is a place to land, because I think people are actually asking themselves, how do we help our children in this season? Yes. Right? Because we get that a lot. Yes. Like, do we take our money and put a down payment so they can buy a house when the house is the house really affordable for them? Like, there are so many, and I know I can hear the parents listening thinking, how do we do this? And I'm hearing you say it starts when they're one, and we let them fall. We let them scrape their knees, and we're actually doing it for a long-term game so that they will understand the value of the dollars they're working for. Oh,
totally.
Like, and that's really what this is about. Yeah. That struggle, we can say, we don't want to wreck our kids. We use all that language, but really we want them to understand what the value is, and that we tell our kids, you know, we've been a single income most of our life, and we're not just going to hand them university. Like, we have helped them a little bit, but we haven't paid the whole thing. And we just can't. We tell them right off the bat, this is what we can do. This is what we can't. And whether right or wrong, I think, how do we figure that out for ourselves? So that's my question to you.
Yeah. And so one of the questions that I always like, is very simple. And we can ask this question many, many times, throughout a year, throughout our life, is, Heavenly Father, what do you want us to do with your money in regard to our kids, or in regard to this, whatever it is, this trip, this investment, this, he has a plan. He gave us extra for a reason. Sometimes that's because we're burnt out and we need to go on a holiday together. Mm-hmm. Other times it's, we need to go away as a family to regroup. Other times it's because there's a ministry that he wants us to be involved in. The answer changes. And so he wants us in interaction with him to say what, and to get his response and his feedback. Mm-hmm. And so that's what that would be a starting point. Should we get involved? Should we help? Should that help be letting them skin their knees, letting mm-hmm. them have to pay the high interest rate and struggle with that debt? Whatever it is. So you're right, Reb, in terms of from early on, we want to be helping our kids and coaching them and letting them struggle. The longer we wait to do that, the more difficult it is. Yeah. That example that I used earlier of that father that's had a son in business for 10 years and the son never had to struggle and maybe shouldn't even have been in the business. That's a really difficult situation to unravel.
Yes.
But it started years ago. So encouragement to our listeners, wherever you are, if your gut's going, we're not doing this right, then okay, we all make mistakes. We acknowledge that we're in a place with our kids that we don't want to be. So let's get some counsel on how to work through that. And let's start to make the hard choices now, because it's just going to get worse. So we can always turn things around. God he's used to that and helps us with that and wants to be involved. So we need his wisdom. We need his guidance on, you know, life through working with our kids, but also in those struggle times. Mm-hmm. And just really seek his guidance on that. And also there is a technical part to it, right? In terms of the house purchase, that's a big, big deal now because housing prices have gone up so much,
it
right?
Is. Yep.
And kids may not be able to afford it, or they may have to be in a more rural setting or basement rentals or whatever it is. But we have to look at what's affordable, and you guys do that. I know you do the coaching around that. When somebody goes to buy a mortgage, you walk them through, is this possible?
Yeah.
So there's that aspect of it, and then there's the aspect of, well, what's going to happen with the kids, and what's the right choice here, and what does that look like?
And you know, I'm just reminded, and we're coming to the end of the show, but, you know, that old adage that says an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and that idea that, you know, wherever you are, and we have this in debt, it's a 2-to-1 ratio. It takes, you know, 1 second to get in debt and 2 years to get out of debt, right? Oh, you know, yes. In the sense of of that. And you know, some of these situations with our kids, as we're talking about character development, you know, it is, you know, an ounce of just doing it. Start now, start today, start thinking about, okay, the questions we've talked about today. But there may be some unraveling that needs to be happening. There may be some steps backwards. Yeah. There may be some slowdown in the case of buying a house. There might be some, you're going to have to save some more money for your down payment,
yes,
because, or you're going to have to get a bit different job, or
yeah,
because the house you want is not the house that is affordable for you. So, yeah.
So. I'm hearing so many, like, we could just go keep going, because this is just such a pertinent topic right now for leaving a legacy. Because, like, when we post the blog along with the show, you know, you can, like, how much is enough then? And how, like, we talk about that, how much is enough for your kids? And we didn't even go to that question. But really what I heard you say today is we walk intimately with a God who loves us, mm-hmm, and he's guiding us in each of those things. And each of our children is different.
Yeah.
And Lord, how do I help Justice? How do I help my daughter Hope? Yeah. What's the season for them? And what are you doing in their life that I can meet you there? Mm-hmm. And I love that idea. Lord, you are working in our children's lives, and how do you want us to walk with them?
And just as a final thought there, our Heavenly Father loves our kids more than we do and is more concerned than we are about them. So that's a place of hope.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, Lord, we just, we're just going to end on that note. We thank you that you love us and you love our kids, and that you so faithfully and constantly teach us on how to manage the resources you put in our hands. And so, Lord, teach us how to do that with our kids, in Christ's name. All right. Thank you once again,
Tim. You are welcome. Yeah. Great to be here.
So guys. Good.
Thanks for sponsoring the show and the team at Trinity Wealth, Trinity Family Wealth. And don't forget to go visit and read some of Tim's blogs and join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.